Good morning, this is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We're here every Saturday morning right here on News Talk 870. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977, or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I would like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. John, how are you?
Dodging raindrops this last week.
Dodging raindrops, yes. It was kind of, we'd get some rain, we'd get some wind. It definitely made our picture taking challenging this
Boy,
week.
Boy, do the weeds in the yard look green, though. Fabulous.
They have been coming up. We definitely are wanting to get our landscapers out there and get those sprayed. Everybody's trying to fertilize and get those greened up for the spring market. And as always, we have with us Mr. Mike Denslow with Wells Fargo. Mike, what's new with you?
I was just laughing to myself. That wasn't rain. That was nothing. I lived in Seattle. I went to college in Seattle.
Okay.
And I was commenting it to people in my office. I was like, this is a sprinkle. This is nothing.
That we have been corrected that we got some sprinkling this week. For sure.
Yeah, that's not rain.
That's not rain. Well, I'll tell you what. I definitely need to give a shout out to all of our teachers, because I spent the week in a second grade classroom for junior achievement.
Oh, boy.
And I'm worn out. You know, I thought it was a little crazy selling houses, but I have to tell you, those second graders these days, they're pretty smart.
Well, I come from a family of teachers, so you're making points right now with my family who listens.
Well, it was a great week. I had a lot of fun. I was surprised daily by the second graders. We talked about just junior achievement, great program. I mean, I know some adult classes I should maybe teach that section to, but we talked about community, government, taxes, the role of our community, and it really, not only was I giving the lesson to the kids, but it kind of taught me a lot about how closely connected Tri-Cities are. You know, you get those kids talking about what their parents do, and you get 30 of them in a classroom, and they start raising their hand, and you're like, oh, yeah. You know, I know that guy, and yeah, his dad's a plumber, and you know, and it's amazing how quickly in a classroom of 30 kids that the kids get it, and how closely connected our community is. So it was great to have the opportunity to teach them about that. I think they taught me a lot, and my appreciation for all teachers becomes renewed very quickly after preparing for the lesson. I don't know how they prepare for a whole day, but I just had them for an hour each day, so thank you to our teachers, and thank you for Junior Achievement for allowing me the opportunity to do that. What else is going on with you, Mike?
Oh, you know, year-round, some of the other things that I'm involved with, you know, like Waterfollies, for example, that's a year-round gig, being on the board for that, and we're doing a lot of things there, getting ready for the event coming up in July, and looking at a test session, hopefully here in a couple months, and those are always fun because boat teams come down and they can, even the boat teams from Seattle can run their boats here and deal with a little bit less red tape than testing them right there on Lake Washington. So they like to, we've got two boats that want to come down and test before the season, and so that should be pretty sweet.
That's a lot of fun. You'll have to let us know as that progresses so we and the listeners and us can head down there. It's always fun when it's not quite so crowded and you can get down there with the kids and kind of watch some boats run really close up.
Yeah, it was amazing. We had a test session a couple years ago, and the driver was coming pretty close to the pit area and everything, and he was making the turns because the sponsor was there, Albert Lee from Seattle. And when the boat comes by and it makes the turn, and when there's six of them out there, it's beautiful. When it's one boat, it's really cool. He makes the turn, and then you can hear the water fall from the rooster tail.
Oh, right.
You hear that clay.
Yep. Yep.
And it's like, oh, that's really cool.
That's great. Yeah, definitely. Thanks for keeping us informed about that, and let us know as that gets closer. We'd love to check that out.
Yeah, and also I'm involved with the Parade of Homes as well, and that's, you know, early September every year. And last year I had to miss the time when they did the Chefs on Parade. And did you have a chance to go to that?
It was actually, it was a highlight for us. My wife and I and some friends went, and we really enjoyed it. I know there were some logistical things that they were trying to work through. I think they had no idea how big the response was going to be, so you had to get there early so that the food lasted. And once again, those chefs were working their tails off trying to get it ready for all the people.
Yeah, I think there was probably about 25, 24 homes in the parade last year, and I think 10 over the course of a couple days did the chefs on parade in case people didn't know what it was. And it was a Thursday and Friday night, and there was signature chefs from the area matched up with certain homes in the parade, and then you came out, and it was a separate ticket. I mean, you had to pay a little bit more for it, but you got food and some drinks and different things and got to hang out in some kitchens, you know, rather
than how they work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking forward to that this year. I mean, that's just, I know it's 6 months or less than 6 months out, but it's something I thought of.
And I'm sure you guys have a lot of planning and stuff that has to go into that, getting that ready and lining all that up. So,
well,
six months, yeah.
Well, when you look at the parade, I mean, you got to think, most of these houses take 5, 6, 7 months to build.
Definitely.
So the majority of them are already under construction.
Yeah.
And they get in their applications by Friday of this week. You know, they get a discount if they're in before April 1st. So, you know, it's, again, with a lot of these things, people think, oh, they threw together this weekend and, you know, here's some homes or here's a boat race. They're both year-round gigs.
So definitely. So once again, any builders that might have been considering that, like you talked about, discount for the application coming up, or if somebody was still kicking around that idea, definitely let us know and we can help you out with that process for sure. We always like to have Jeff Losey on and from the HBA to talk to us about that also. So it's crazy to think that we're starting to consider events in September, but planning for those and building houses, kind of a long-term project, can go very, very quickly. Especially as you get right down to it. So, a lot of good updates, Mike. I really appreciate that. One of the things I wanted to start off with is just a real current review. We've talked about how the market's been kind of hopping along there and what's been going on. Our inventory has gone up a little bit in the last 30 days. We see that quite a bit. We're looking at about 1,400 active listings on the market. But as we're in the spring market, that's a lot of times we see that. We usually see our inventory from 1,100 increase in the spring up to about 1,400. Mm-hmm. There's more people putting their homes on the market. There's also more sales, so it corresponds with that. So inventory up a little bit. Under contract in the last 30 days, date to date, we're looking at about 178 homes under contract. So that number was just down a little bit over last month, but we talked about last month being a record February. Mm-hmm. So we kind of expected that. It'll be interesting to see when we get the March data in. We'll do an exact comparison statistically, but it looks like it's running 4-5% down from last month, but still a huge, huge month since that was a record for the last 3 years for February. So when we look at our supply of homes versus the under contract in the last 30 days, we're looking at about a 7.5 month supply. So that's gone up just a little bit than we were 2 months ago. So we'll kind of keep an eye on that. We still have a pretty good absorption rate, though, and that is really kind of a percentage of how many homes are selling. And we're sitting right at about 12% right now. The homes that have sold in the last 30 days that have gone under contract, average days on the market for those homes that have gone under contract was just right over 80, so 81 days. And so the homes that are selling now in the spring market, the good inventory that's selling quickly, we're seeing those average days on the market of the under contract be a little bit ahead of the curve for the market as a whole, which is trending more in the upper 90s. So what that means is in a spring market where homes are moving quicker, there's more sales, and priced right inventory is selling quickly. So that is one of the big things that we have. That's a real accurate picture right to date of what's going on in the market right now. Now, we know on a national level, we always like to get kind of the house of the week. What is the celebrity house? Now, we've had a lot of celebrity ones, but I found one that was just kind of unheard of for Tri-City, so I think it took us way out of our market, is how about a dose of Civil War history for your next home? So just outside of Boston, there's a home that was built in 1830, and it was previously owned by the Massachusetts Civil War governor, John Andrew. So a house that was built in 1830. So he was a distant cousin of Abraham Lincoln, and he worked closely with the federal government to allow black men to join the Union Army. So a significant portion of history And he also authorized the formation of the 54th Massachusetts, which was in the film Glory, that a lot of people have seen. So a lot of history in a home like this. So this home, it sold in 09. The current owners purchased it in 09 for $1.3 million. Now listen to this. That home is, it's kind of the old classic style with the big white columns. 6,000 square feet of living space. Now I mean that's shocking in today's age when you think about that. Imagine how that must have correlated in 1830.
Wow.
I mean, it'd be like unheard of. I mean, kind of unseen back then.
Yeah, I think it'd be like living in a church.
Right. Pretty much. I mean it must have been so, you know, just mind blowing in the 1830s to see something like that. Beautiful, beautiful home. You know, definitely if you type in John Andrew Massachusetts home, you'll see it pop up on Google. They went through and did a massive full renovation in 2010, so this house looks like it's right out of a storybook. I mean it's really unbelievable. Back on the market now for just under $3 million, so it was a huge renovation, but very cool property. So a little bit different, not a celebrity house this week, but instead we've gone to Civil War
historical
Lance,
value.
Yeah, Lance, I've got a question. 1830. How did you keep that thing heated?
Yeah, I have
6,000
probably fireplaces.
Probably, yeah. There was. You can see from the pictures, massive, beautiful fireplaces coming out of the roof. I mean, it is very, very cool to look back. Now, I was trying to think. I do not think that I have seen a structure for sale. The oldest one I have ever been involved with was 1902.
I got you. In the Tri-Cities. Yeah, I had one in Utah that was like 1890-something.
Okay, so, yeah. You know, it's very rare when we see something like that. So a lot of different things come into play when you look at older homes like that. And so it's really interesting. I mean, very, very interesting projects and stuff. I've also heard a presentation by the folks that did the restoration locally here at the Moore Mansion, and that was a fabulous presentation to see what they went through to get that done. So, in fact, there's another show idea. We need to renovations and restorations of a kind of like a historical monument like that would be fabulous. So I'm jotting those notes down as I'm talking. We're gonna have to make some phone calls to see what we can do.
We do have renovation loans.
Excellent. So the main topic I wanted to get into, as a lot of people have been calling, they've been asking us a lot of questions. Sometimes when folks hire an agent, maybe for selling their house, they might not even know which questions to ask, which ones are important. So one of the things that is really important, the first question that I put together for people looking to interview and hire prospective folks would be, number one, when talking to an agent is, I would be asking, what is your average days on the market for the last 90 days? So that's a really good snapshot for what's been happening in the last 3 months, what your track record is in the last 3 months, and so what you're doing right now to get homes sold. So you definitely, this helps you for your long-term planning, because you're going to want to know how much insurance you need to have, how many potential more mortgage payments you're going to be making. And so you want to know what's proven and what results have happened in that market. So number one, that would be a great question to be asking as you interview. We have that data available. We get that question a lot. And so that is a big one. Now, I mentioned before, another big, big one to talk about is, what is the absorption rate in my market? So the biggest thing that we have to talk about, and this is kind of a loaded question, a lot of people ask, how's the market? Should I sell? Mm-hmm. Well, that's a loaded question, because we've got, what market are we talking about? Are we talking about the market of the Tri-Cities? Are we talking about the market of your home that's 200,000, you know, or are we talking about the market of your neighborhood, which could be even more important? The market of Tri-Cities might be great, but you might be in a neighborhood that hasn't had a closed sale in your price range in the last 6 months, and that could be a major issue. So a lot of times people aren't looking at those micro markets close enough, and so they're calling and asking us, Why didn't my home sell, you know, in the last 6 months? And when we look at that micro market, we see that not only did your home not sell, but none sold. you know, in that microarray.
That does happen.
So we've got to decide how to reposition that house into what market you need to be in to get it sold, if that is the goal at the current time.
I bet you get that a lot from folks that are asking you to help them out of the situation.
Yeah, well, we do get that question a lot. And one of the things we break it down to, in fact, I did one earlier this week where I said, yeah, the market right now is great. We're sitting on about a 7-month supply of homes. But when I factored in your square footage and your price range and within your neighborhood, you know, I think this particular one was in West Kennewick, it came out to look that there was 11 homes available that matched that criteria that potential buyers would look at. And based upon that, only one a month was selling. So in that market, for that person's home, there was actually an 11-month supply of homes. And so that'd be an oversupply in that market. So really kind of taking a look at what is the absorption rate for my market analysis. Mm-hmm. And that's a very important number to help you for your planning and gauge why you're doing that. So we do that a lot. We look at this data a lot. We send this data to a lot of people, and it really makes a big, big difference. So we've got two other major questions when we come back from the break. Even better than that, we've got three brand new properties that are going to blow your mind. And very excited to go over that and talk more with Mike about lending when we come back.
Right here on New Talk 870.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. Man, we're having a great time today. We've talked a lot about community because I think that was the lesson for junior achievement this
yeah.
week.
Mm-hmm.
Mike jumped in here with Water Follies, Parade of Homes, Builders. But let's get back to a little bit about lending and how we can get the money for these houses that we're looking for and some of the programs. What's going on in lending, Mike?
Well, going back to FHA from the last couple shows, we talked about the FHA changes.
Mm-hmm.
They're actually coming down on April 9th, and there's an increase in the upfront fee, and it's almost doubling, and then the monthly PMI is also going up as well. So this is linked to the case number, which is typically tied to when the appraisal is ordered. So if you're thinking about buying a home and you're approved for an FHA, you know, that might be incentive to get out there and do some things in the next week, even, because after that, you know, it's going to be more expensive. Your loan's going to be a little bit bigger. Your payment's going to be a little bit bigger. So something to ask some questions about, and obviously feel free to contact me about that as well. And it was funny when you were talking about your questions of people looking to sell their home, you know, what are the questions that you hit them with or the questions that they have. One thing that I ask people and it can catch them off guard is, how long do you plan on being in your home? You know, if you're buying it, refining it, whatever, because we always have to look at the costs that they're paying in relation to how long they're going to be in that house. And if they're refinancing, I get the question, well, I plan on leaving in 2 to 3 years. Does it make sense to refinance? Well, if we can structure it so you pay less, then yeah, it could still make sense. So that's something to be thinking about if you're going to refinance, or even if you're buying a house. You know, maybe you're coming into the Tri-Cities, or you know you're only going to be on assignment for 4 years or 3 years or something. You know, why are you on a 30-year fixed? Why not go with something like a 30-year loan where only the first 7 years are fixed? Those interest rates are about 1% lower than even the 30-year fix. So just things to think about, how long you plan on having that mortgage, because it could dictate a better option for you as far as costs go. And I tell everybody the same thing. I want you to make a decision based on mathematics,
right?
Statistics,
right?
Rather than just an emotion of, well, I think I should do this, you know. And
yep.
So we like to turn that around a little bit. So the FHA is the big thing in the news right now. FHA is getting hurt with losses. I mean, you can go into Google News and type in FHA and read a million different stories about different things. So there are more changes coming with FHA loans, and it's going to put more of a more an emphasis on finding other products. Wells Fargo does have several other products, similar low-down products like FHA, and we're going to be pushing those. We haven't had to, you know, just because FHA has been a good loan for so long, an inexpensive way for a first-time home buyer, not even a first-time home buyer, to, you know, 3.5% down. It can be gifted, all these, you know,
it was real flexible.
Yeah, and now FHA and the government's just getting hit with enough losses that they're gonna be making some changes here real soon. So, and one thing, you know, going back to, you know, year-round stuff, I was talking with Steve David, the driver of the Oh Boy Oberto, who comes here at, you know, end of every July and does some racing at 200 miles an hour. And he is a real estate broker, agent, speaker, all of these things in Southern Florida. And he said, oh, you do a radio show about real estate and lending? And he's like, oh, I'd love to be on it. So sometime here in the next few months, we'll have to give him a call, you know, during a show and get him on to talk about his take on real estate and lending and some different things, and just anticipating coming here and driving a boat really fast.
Well, and it'll be nice to talk to a Florida agent because it's such a different market down there, and they've dealt with so many different issues that it's always nice to talk to agents in those different markets. And talking about those changes, Mike, that you talked about with FHA on your side, it keyed in my memory to tell the listeners a new major change that affects FHA loans that started happening and starts happening in April is now when you are selling a house, you have to have a carbon monoxide detector on each floor. So the first thing that happened is we got that called out. Last week was our first one. We were closing in next month. The appraiser went out to do the appraisal on the house, and there was not a carbon monoxide detector on each floor. And
wow.
So that got called out in the appraisal. And so people are a lot of times are thinking, really, an appraiser calling out a condition like that? He's supposed to be giving us a valuation of the house. Well, it's a valuation of the house if X, Y, and Z is all correct. And that is one of the new checklists. And so when you're selling a residence, one of the things we're looking for now is we're going in and listing homes, is having our sellers make sure they have a carbon monoxide detector installed.
Wow.
So new change that we're seeing also from a functional standpoint and things to do on the real estate side, that was another change we had. So thanks for reminding me of that.
Yeah, no problem. Last thing is rates are still excellent. I mean, they're still, you know, historically low. It's we laugh about it because they've been that way for a long time. But refis, purchases, new construction, whatever, definitely recommend that people give me a call, 736-2621. And I'll wrap it up with my normal Wells Fargo Home Mortgage is a division of Wells Fargo Bank, N.A., Equal Housing Lender.
Okay, well, I've got to pick three. We've got some great new property. My last pick three, every one of them sold under contract. We've put on some amazing new inventory. This is something, pick number one, that a lot of people are looking for, and that is acreage in Pasco under 250 with a house on it.
Mm.
So we've got 0.93, almost a one-acre lot off of Argent and Livingston out there in Pasco, 4509 West Livingston. This is a four-bedroom, two-bath home, 3,200 square feet, and like I said, you've got the pasture, you've got irrigation, and we're looking at a sales price on this at $230,000.
Wow, that's right.
And so, I mean, to kind of get the big house and the remodeled kitchen and the acreage all under 250 is unbelievable. So 4509 Livingston in Pasco, great looking place. We talked a lot about those FHA loans and stuff today. Well, a great property maybe for a first-time home buyer, somebody looking to get into something. We've got a house built in 2005, 924 North Douglas in Pasco. Your three-bedroom, two-bath, two-car garage, super cute Rambler, and this thing is priced at $125,000.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're really just not going to find that square footage in Pasco for that price. So that's 924 North Douglas, another amazing pick that we have this week. Over to Kennewick, we'll cross the river there for a little bit, and we'll have our pick three in Kennewick. Now, this is 502 West 20th. 502 West 20th. This is a four-bedroom, three-bath home. It's 2,300 square feet, and it is clean. I mean, super clean, move-in ready. Two-car garage, and we are looking at 159,000.
Wow.
Yeah, 159,900. I really expect us to be gone by next week's show when we're talking about this. The 502 West 20th. I said it. 4-bedroom, 3-bath, 2,300 square feet, and it's clean. I'm not talking you're going to go in there and do a lot of work. People might expect that from the dimensions and the price. But 2,300 square feet for $159,900. So those are definitely, that's definitely our pick three of the week. There is a lot of great inventory out there. We talked about the inventory numbers being up a little bit this last week and this week. Another great example of bringing three or four amazing new properties to the show every week. This is really the time where there's a lot of choices out there. Mike said the rates are great. He's right. So the rates are great. We have a lot of people selling and moving up, taking advantage of those rates. What people are doing that is realistic and right now in the Tri-Cities market, for people that want to know what I think the smart people are doing right now, and that is, like Mike said, people are saying, how long do you want to be in a house? Mm-hmm. If people need to upgrade for more space, they need to make a move. Right now, what they can do is they can sell their current home that they're in, probably have the biggest pool of first-time homebuyers available to them. Because interest rates are so low, that makes the house so much more affordable for so many more people. And then they're going to move up to a bigger house, and get probably the cheapest money that they'll be able to get. So if someone's going to stay in a house for another 5 to 7 years, they wanted to make that move. They're selling now in a market that's good when the rest of the country has tanked. Mm-hmm. They're using the cheapest money possible to upgrade to a bigger home, and they're going to be set for the next 7 to 20 years if they want to. Wow. We have a lot of clients that are doing that scenario right now. And I really think this is one of the smartest times to potentially do that scenario, because they're locking those rates in for the same house 4 years ago, you know, say on a $200,000 house. I was doing payments for somebody last night, you know, but just roughly, if you're looking at principal and interest and taxes, you know, we were doing payments on a house comparing what one couple had did from now versus 4 years ago. And our $200,000 house, their payment 4 years ago would have been $1,900, and they were down to about $1,450 now because of interest rate changes. So it was really like, they're like, now's the time to do it. And so that's what we're seeing. We've got lots and lots of clients making moves like that right now. I wanted to get in two more questions here. I know we're getting close on time, but I'm going to jump in here with two more quick questions. I promised you two more, so I wanted to get that. We had a question on Facebook, and we get this a lot this week, about people are like, we are considering selling. What are the basic fees? How can we calculate our basic fee? So one of the things that we talk about, they're like, what else is there other than commissions? You know, what are the other fees I'm going to pay other than commissions? Well, the basics that we have, and we have a spreadsheet that lays it all out, but if you're trying to calculate it on your own, you're going to have title insurance, which allows you to transfer title from your name free and clear to the new buyer. That's going to run usually about 0.5%. Then you're going to have an escrow fee that you're going to pay half of as a seller, and that's going to run $300 to $550, depending upon the value of your house. And then you're going to have a couple reconveyance fees, a couple transfer fees, and those are going to run about another $300, roughly. And then the big one is you're going to have real estate excise tax, that's state of Washington seller tax. And that runs about, to make the calculation easy, it's 1.78, but 1.8%. So you lump all this together and selling minus commissions that you negotiate with your agent, you're looking at about cost to sell about 2.5%. So that's kind of a rough rule of thumb, 2.5% on top of commissions, and then you can negotiate those with your agent. So that is kind of just kind of gives you a rough idea. Okay, here's what I need to calculate. So when you look at staying in a house, how long do you need to be there before you break even? You can kind of make those calculations.
Hey, Lance, I just had an instance where somebody was looking to get pre-approved for a house, and that exact thing came up. They said, oh, we think we're going to net about this much, and I ran the numbers exactly the way that you just did, and I was like, oh, we're not getting as much as I thought we were. And then all of a sudden that changed their down payment, so that's really important.
It is a really important one, and that's great. I'm glad somebody like you is working those numbers on the other end of it, because, in fact, just last night I was sitting down with some clients, and they said, we need to know how much we're going to net. And because we just talked about this moving up scenario, we're doing real life stuff on the show here today. They said, Lance, we need to know how much we're leaving this house with so that we can go see Mike and know how much we have to pay our closing costs and our down payment on our new loan. So, you know, that's what we're doing day in, day out right now. Mm-hmm. And really just getting a lot of people out of current homes and into new homes, or first time home buyers into new homes. Last question that I've got for you really comes down to how many sellers versus buyers do you represent as an agent? Make sure that's a question you're asking as an agent or team. Most typical agents represent buyers 80% of the time and sellers 20% of the time. And so when you're looking to sell, it can be a different skill set than it might have been when you were shown a house to buy. So knowing that somebody has a good balance of sellers to buyers helps you determine where those leads are coming from and what skill sets they're working with. So that's another important question to ask. If you need any clarification on any of these numbers or these questions, we would be glad to help out. I'm at 10moreteam.com. That'll get you all of our contact info. It'll also get you over to Mr. Denslow at Wells Fargo. And we would love to hear from you. Don't forget, you can check us out on Facebook, submit questions via Twitter, and as always, find us on the web at kenmoreteam.com or back on the radio show next Saturday.
Absolutely, right here on News Talk 870.